So, this one is to kind of practically, by meditative analysis and reflection, to think how we'd start to think our way in to kind of analysing, reflecting, and moving from the insight that we, others, and everything else might not exist in the way that they appear, but are in actual fact absent of that inherent sort of existence. So you could preface this with a long meditation, kind of recapping everywhere we've been, but that would take a very long time. So if you can just call to mind whatever sense you've got, whatever sense you've got of what this is about, how it feels, what you understand by things not existing in the way that they appear, what you understand by the illusion of inherent existence, which by us being attached or averse to things that appear that way, then generates suffering. Just kind of bringing that to mind. As a preface to what we're going to do. And what we're going to do, for those of you who might be familiar with it, this is a meditation from His Holiness. It's not one of mine, but it kind of uses metta bhavana, or the development of loving kindness, and a part of the meditation on the four Brahma Viharas, the meditation on love, compassion, joy, and equanimity, brought together to kind of cultivate and reflect upon how this insight can lead into and generate feelings of great empathy, love, and compassion. So, just bringing the attention from wherever it is, coming to the gates of the senses. Just being simply present to the immediacy and freshness of the five senses. Then, when you've got some sense of that, broadening the scope of the attention to include mental consciousness. Dropping back into the body, following the instructions of Lama Mipemapit, and either centering the awareness at the heart, in the empty space at the heart, or just resting wherever you find yourself. Allowing that to settle, still in body, speech, and mind, senses vividly alive. As the glass clears, as it were, settles a little in that calmer, quieter place with more attentional stability. See if you can bring a friend to mind. Anyone who you kind of recognize as a friend, bring them to mind. And then kind of think, recall, bring to the fore again the process of the self-ruinous cycle of existence driven by failing to see ourselves, others, and all that appears to our experience. In the way that they actually exist. Seeing our failure to see that they don't exist in the way that they appear. not really realizing that they're empty of any of that sort of inherent existence. And when, either by visualization or just imagination or conceptualization or some combination of all three, you've got a kind of clear idea, image, or sense of that person before you, beside you, think, just like me, this person is lost, bewildered and confused in an ocean of misapprehension of the I as inherently existent, fed by a huge river of ignorance, mistaking mind and body, self and others, and all phenomena to be inherently existent, and agitated by winds, both strong and subtle, of counterproductive thoughts and actions, just like me. No difference in that respect. Like someone mistaking a reflection of the moon in water for the moon itself. This person mistakes the appearance of I and any other phenomena to exist in their own right. It looks to them as if they do, just as it appears to me. By accepting this false appearance, just like me, this person is powerlessly drawn into attachment and aversion, and all the afflictive emotions up to and including greed and hatred, accumulating negative karma and suffering the results of their own and others' actions. Through this process, this person, just like me and others, unnecessarily brings pain upon themselves as well as others. Again, keeping the person to mind close. See if you can generate or cultivate 3 levels of love towards them. First, thinking, this person wants happiness but is bereft. How wonderful it would be if this person could be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. How wonderful it would be if they could be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. They're a friend, wish for them. Happiness and all the causes of happiness. Wish them well. Then take it a step further and think, this person wants happiness but is bereft. May they be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. It would be wonderful if they could be, but appreciating how wonderful that would be, wish, yearn that they may actually be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. May it really be possible. And then think, this person wants happiness, but is bereft. How wonderful it would be if they could be imbued with all the causes of happiness and happiness. Really want them to be, may they be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. But then think, I will do whatever I can to help them to be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. I will do whatever I can to help them, they're my friend, to be imbued with happiness and all the causes of happiness. See if you can generate or access the feeling of loving kindness in that way for them. And just rest there for a while. And then see if you can do the same with compassion. Love, wishing a person well, wishing that they have happiness and all the causes of happiness. Compassion, wishing that they be free from suffering and its causes. So in cultivating or generating compassion, we think, this person, this friend, right here, right now, wants happiness and doesn't want suffering. Yet, just like me, is stricken with terrible pain. If only this person could be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. If only this person could be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. See if you can make that wish for that person. And then think, this person wants happiness and doesn't want suffering, just like me. Yet, because, just like me, they're under the power of the illusion of appearances, they're often stricken with terrible pain. May this person actually be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Not if only could they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May they actually be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Then keeping the person close, feeling them there. Think, this person wants happiness and doesn't want suffering, just like me. Yet for the same reasons is often stricken with terrible pain. I will help this person to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering in the best way I can. I will help this person wherever I can to be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And then, if you wish, you can cultivate or sow the seeds of the total commitment of a bodhisattva. Thinking the whole of cyclic existence is driven by ignorance, avidya. Actively assenting to the way things appear, rather than seeing them as they actually exist. Cyclic existence, habitual behaviour, round and round, and enormous amounts of suffering resulting, is driven by this ignorance. Mine and everybody else's. Therefore, it is realistically for me to work to achieve enlightenment and to help others to do the same. And then think, even if I have to do it alone, I will free all sentient beings from suffering and the causes of suffering, and set all sentient beings in happiness and the causes of happiness. Even if I have to do it alone, I will free all sentient beings from suffering and the causes of suffering, and set all sentient beings in happiness and the causes of happiness. If you aspire to the Bodhisattva's way of life, see if you can generate some feeling for that, some wish, some aspiration that may one day become actual. And then let go, just rest in the empty space at the heart with whatever experience you have, and just rest there. So then, as in the practice of the cultivation of loving kindness, you subsequently, not necessarily all in one session, but over time, in four separate sessions, bring to mind individual sentient beings, first friends, then neutral persons, and then enemies, starting with the least offensive, you know, people who you really don't like, people who you regard as threatening. We all claim we haven't, but if you've got people you hate there, but start with the least offensive. So you do exactly the same meditation, friends, neutral people, friends, neutral people, then enemies, starting with the least offensive, and go through repeating those kind of reflections and meditations with them. You know, and of course, it's about trying to get to the point where you can really generate those feelings as opposed to just hanging on or repeating the words. If it becomes recitation, some people might say, well, it's still worth doing, but I'm kind of, well, maybe, maybe not. For me, if you don't get some juice into it by really feeling that, then it's not going to have much impact. You know, much like His Holiness was saying about the emptiness practice. So if it just remains at the level of words or recitation, then it's not going to go very far and have any impact. I mean, His Holiness says in there, it'll take months and years, but the benefit of the practice will be extraordinary. Different people will develop in different ways, but I can recognise what you're talking about, because with my own practice like that, I started with the words, and then the repetition of the words was helpful because it gave me a structure that I could actually remember. Yeah, but then I got to the point where, can I do it without using the words at all, but just feeling all those things? Yeah, to connect with the feelings and then drop the words and yet run it through the same sequence, just resting on feelings. And I think when you get there, you can open the heart, and it really does have some benefit. Or for a more profound meditation, in going through those people, you might find that sometimes you can't, that there are no feelings, that there's a blockage or a numbness. And then to separately into meditation, like we were doing with the feelings, to just be present to that, not trying to suppress it, not putting any antidote on it or trying to do anything with it, but just seeing if it opens up. Why is that? What's there? What comes up? You may find it kind of reveals itself. Yeah, but you have to keep going back and not ignoring it. And when it reveals itself, then you might find, particularly towards neutral persons or enemies, it's possible to have those feelings genuinely and quite surprisingly. Yeah. Whereas before, there was either nothing or a numbness. Metta-bhavana. Metta-bhavana is just the Sanskrit and Pali originally, again, because they're very similar languages in their sound, although they look quite different in their scripts. And scholars of both, of course, will say, oh, no, they don't sound like one another at all. But to my English ear, they're very similar. Not when they're chanted, but when you try to pronounce the words. So metta-bhavana literally means loving kindness. And the other practice that this is combined with, where he's picking on two out of four, love, compassion, joy and equanimity, they're known as the four Brahma Viharas, the abodes of Brahma, pre-Buddhist. And they're also known in a lot of Buddhist books referred to as the four immeasurable thoughts, love, compassion, joy and equanimity. So what he's done is he's taken the structure of a metta-bhavana, loving kindness, classic loving kindness meditation, because you start with yourself, then go to a friend. That's why, although this one didn't actually specifically start with the self, I said you have to remember all the things we've been doing about emptiness. So it's like first of all, recalling it to yourself. In a classic metta bhavana, you do all those things directed at yourself. You develop loving kindness first in respect of yourself, then to a friend, then to a neutral person, then to an enemy or someone you really don't like or really averse to. Yeah, those you're attached to, those you're neutral about, and those that you're really averse to. And then from the Brahma Viharas, he chooses love and compassion. Yeah. And then does it again, developing the three levels. And then resting. Just resting with whatever experience you have in that open-hearted state. It's a nice practice. Mm. Nice practice. But not a quick fix. Not unless you either exceptionally lucky or got very good karma, depending which way you want to look at it. But yeah, it's a beautiful practice. And as he says, I can't claim any ability at it at all, but I've had tiny little flashes that lead me to believe that that's right. Yeah, it'll take months and years, but the benefit of the practice will be extraordinary. So we're just about coming up to a short break, and then you can have a think, come back, and we can have a chat, comments, questions, share.